we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here on this beautiful Tuesday. Pray that you are getting ready for Resurrection Sunday this weekend, Good Friday coming up, and pray that you are just having an awesome, awesome week. A lot of times people ask me how I'm doing, and I'll say marvelous, and sometimes they hear horrible. So I did not say awful. I said awesome, S-O-M-E. And so I pray that you have an awesome week, not an awful week. So we want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our Resurrection Sunday services. We're going to be having a great time. We're going to be celebrating communion on that day. We're going to be celebrating the resurrection. We're going to be celebrating Jesus, our King. And then we're going to be celebrating the body of Christ. We're going to be having a time of fellowship afterwards, some fun for the kids, Christ-centered fun for the kids. And we would just love to have you come and be a part of it. We have Sunday school starts at 9:30. Worship service starts at 10:30. And we do not have Sunday night service on Easter Sunday. So that gives you a heads up about everything that is coming up at Merritt Assembly of God this week. It's hard to believe that March is already winding down. April is here before us. And if you're procrastinating doing things that you wanted to get done before it gets hot, you better hurry. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, thank God for everything that has gone on thus far. We're going to get to the Word of God. This is going to be our last day talking about people that the devil may sow into a church or into your situation that will try and drag you down or distract you or derail you from the path that God would have you to pursue. So I'm going to read today verse number 12 through verse number 19, and then we're going to pick up at verse number 16. Okay, these are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. I'll go one more verse. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I wanted to read those. I could have gone back a few more verses because one of the primary tactics used by these plants by the devil to have a negative impact on your life is their mouth. It talks about here in verse number 15, in an ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You see in verse number 8, they speak evil or blaspheme of dignitaries. They are not afraid to speak about things that angels won't speak about. Verse 10, they speak evil of whatever they do not know. and things like that. The mouth is a very powerful tool. You have to pay attention to the voices that you listen to. You can be in control of your ear. Okay? Now you may not be able to control the secondary noise, things that you just happen to be in a certain place and all of a sudden you hear something, but you can be in control of the primary voices that you permit to speak into your life on a consistent and regular basis. For example, let me tell you about a time my wife and I were visiting her parents, and they took us to a railroad museum. At that point in time, I believe, only had the one child, our son, and we would get to see her parents and my parents about once a year. We would we'd go to see them and alternate trips and things like that. Sometimes a little farther in between visits, and sometimes not. They would be a little closer together. And we were on this train that circumvented the museum. It would take you from one side of the park to the other side of the park. It was really cool. And so there's her mom, her dad, my wife, myself, and our son. And we got halfway around the park, and we went to get a soda, and something happened. I don't remember exactly what happened. And all of a sudden, there came a word out of our son's mouth that is not used in our household. And, you know, here you are, and this is one of the first visits. I mean, very, very young, maybe 2 or 3 years old, something like that. And there we are around her parents. I'm a minister. She's a pastor's wife, a minister's wife. And all of a sudden there is this word that is coming out. And my wife and I, we look at each other with horror. And all of a sudden we say, now, son, where did you hear that? And he said, well, I heard it from the man that was sitting behind us on the train as we were riding around the park. So you may not be able to control all of the secondary noise, but you have to be careful, because the things that you hear inevitably will start coming out of your mouth. Do you know that the reason that you speak the language that you speak, the reason that you speak the dialect you speak, whether it's with a Southern drawl or with a New England sort of dialect, or a New Yorker use guys, all of that sort of stuff, that is relative to our hearing. It is what we hear that is translated into what comes out of our mouth. So we also need to be careful, because it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we've got these two issues here, that because of these people's lack of godliness in their life, their mouth was speaking, but they were speaking into a community of believers. And Jude is writing, and he says, you have to be careful. You've got to realize that these people who are speaking in this manner are not coming from a godly perspective. Now, I want to tell you that the difference between the holy and the profane, the word profane simply means that which is common. There is common vernacular and common slang that is talked about in society, but that doesn't mean that it is supposed to be adopted by the household of faith. There is supposed to be a holy distinction among the people of God. And so profanity should not be something that is a custom or is a normal item that comes out of my mouth or your mouth. Okay? Profanity should not, crude language should not be coming out of our mouth. There should be a noticeable difference of what comes out of our mouth. And he says, verse number 16, these are grumblers and complainers, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. So these people, their mouth is a tool. Complaining and grumbling is not just a personality trait. If that is your normal demeanor, it is an indication of a spiritual problem. It's an indication of a spiritual problem. I remember when I was much younger, in my 30s, I was praying one day, and God, you know, I was trying to determine what type of man that I wanted to be when I got older. And God spoke to me and he said, if you do not want to be a grumpy old man, then don't be a grumpy young man. If you don't want to be that typical complaining, whining, grumbling old person or middle-aged person, then don't start doing it now. If you are doing it now, ask the Holy Spirit to work in you to change that. Do you realize that there were millions of people that were prevented from going into the promised land? One of the biggest problems that they had was that they were murmurers, complainers. They were constantly whining and complaining about everything, even when it was done miraculously. Even after unbelievable military victories, after unbelievable manifestations of the presence of God, these people complained and murmured and griped against the leadership. They complained against God. They were always, always complaining. I looked at that and I said, I wonder, you know, why they were so quick to complain. And then I realized that for over 400 years, the children of Israel had lived in Egypt. And for a good portion of that time, they had lived in bondage. They were considered slaves. They lived under the taskmaster's whip. And it was before Moses was ever born that the children of Israel began to complain to God and say, God, would you get us out of this situation? And I can tell you that living, working, existing on a daily basis under an oppressive situation or in an oppressive situation is spiritually taxing. And so this complaining and this murmuring and this griping, it became the norm for these people. It was what was customary. It was expected that everybody was going to be in complaining mode. And so when a person came along and said, God has sent us to bring about a transformation, a radical transformation, they were all for it. And then when it didn't happen as soon as they wanted, then they started complaining because their situation got worse before it got better. And so when they were in the wilderness, they were speaking their native language. They were speaking, I'm not talking about they were speaking Hebrew. I mean, I'm talking about the way that they were communicating was they had decades and decades, if not centuries of experience where grandpa taught the son to complain and the daughter to complain. And then they taught their kids to complain. And then they taught their kids to complain and all of that. And there's so much in society to complain about. Do you realize how blessed we are to live in America? There's a statistic that is out there that said that even, I would say that 99%, now I'm not remembering the exact statistic, it might be 90%, but the vast majority of America, even those who are considered to be poverty level, are living at a higher standard of living than most of the world that has ever existed has lived in. Not to mention the world that is in some parts of the world that are going on right now. I know places right now where if you have one light bulb and a tin roof and tin walls, that's an acceptable standard of living. I've been there. It's not theory. I've been there. I've seen it. And you would say, well, I could never be happy there. Do you realize that being content has nothing to do with the tangible provisions that you have on a daily basis? It has everything to do with the reality of who's living in your heart. Paul said, I have lived in luxury, and I have lived, you know, with just a bare existence, and I've learned the secret of being content in whatever state that I am in. So do not associate yourself on a regular basis with grumblers and complainers, people who use their mouth as a way to wield influence over other people. That's not the way that you are supposed to operate. You know, I use this verse on the radio program here, where there are many words, sin is not very far away. You know, that's the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version, 2018 edition. And so if you ever hear me say something or make a verbal blunder, I want to ask you to show me a little bit of mercy with that, because sometimes my mouth will say things that my brain didn't intend for it to say. The other day I was trying to give a text at verse or a text and verse, chapter and verse, when I was preaching, and I tried three times and I messed it up three times. And so I finally had to slow it down and be very intentional about the way that I spoke. Here's the thing. If the devil is dragging you down, having a negative influence on your life because there are people who are constantly complaining and murmuring and griping or using their mouth to manipulate and intimidate, then shut their voice off. You say, well, they don't have a volume switch. They don't have an on-off switch. Then just choose to hang around different people. You would be amazed at how those things that you tolerate listening to have an effect upon your spirit. He says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, tune those people out who are complaining, and tune in those who spoke by faith, those who spoke in love, those who spoke prophetically as the mouthpiece of God. Focus on those words. Last week, I saw a poll, and it said, which one of these do you trust more? And there were a couple of options there. Which ones do you trust more? You have a choice to make as to who you are going to allow to speak into your life. And I pray that you would make a godly choice. And thank you for making this. And by the way, for those who've sent emails recently, I want to say thank you for the encouraging emails to continue to preach the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God. We want to thank you for listening, and thank you for allowing us to speak the Word of God into your life. Verse number 18, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. There are people who will walk according to their own ungodly desires, their own ungodly cravings, instead of walking according to the Spirit. Remember, we're talking about, in Galatians chapter 6 is where we started this, about sowing to the Spirit. You sow to the Spirit, you do not sow to the flesh. These are people who sow to the flesh, who walk according to the flesh. And it goes on and it said, these are sensual persons. You have five senses, five natural senses. And there's taste, there's sight, there's hearing, there's touch, and I forget what the fifth one is right at the moment here. And there are a lot of people who live their life based upon those five senses. But you and I are called to walk by faith. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. We are called, speech, I think, is the fifth sense there. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. We are called to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And so how can two walk together unless they agree? There has to be a form of agreement. And agreement is not you agreeing with me and me agreeing with you. It's I made a decision to walk in agreement with the Word of God, and you have made a decision to walk in agreement with the Word of God. And so we are pursuing this path together. So what is the ultimate goal? What is the strategy of these who've been called dreamers, these who have called spots in your love feast, these who have been called grumblers and complainers, these who have been called ungodly? What is the ultimate end game that Satan has for them? Division. Division. To sow strife, to sow discord, where the commanded blessing of God is not able to flow the way that God wants it to flow. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It is not destruction of the godly so that the ungodly, listen, both end up perishing whenever there is division. And that's what the devil's ultimate goal. He wants to get husbands divided against wives, parents divided against children, children divided against their parents, the church divided against the pastor divided against the church. Division means that there is a split vision. That's what it means. And so you have to make a decision at some point in time. Are you going to operate with the vision that God has for the house or not? And so I saw a humorous post here a few weeks ago about a pastor that was trying to communicate the vision that God had laid upon his heart to the church. As far as I know, this is not a true story, so he made his presentation to the board, and at the end of the vote, the pastor voted for the vision and everybody else voted against the vision. And the pastor cried out and said, "God, would you show these people that this is your vision, not my vision? Would you make it unmistakably clear that this is your vision and your plan?" And about that time, a lightning bolt came from heaven, and it divided the conference table in two. There was a great burst of energy in the room. Everybody went flying back and just sort of kind of looked there in stunned silence. And finally, everybody brushed themselves up off and sat up at the table. And the board member said, "Well, that would be 11 votes against. And with God's vote, that'll make 2 votes for." And so they still weren't going to pursue that vision. I want you to know that it's not whether people support my vision. It's not whether I support their vision. It is where do we fall in God's vision. And listen, I will tell you this. God's vision, God's plan for your life is much better than the devil's plan. So I want to encourage you to find that desire, that hunger, that thirst for the Word of God and say, "God, whatever you need to do in my life to get me prepared for that purpose, that vision that you have, that plan that you have for my life, do it. He said, "These people cause divisions, and the reason is they do not have the Spirit," capital S, referring to God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. These people who are functioning in the church without the Spirit of God, they will draw attention to themselves. It says they flatter people to gain advantage. Okay? You and I, when we are called to serve, we are called to serve. Jesus said, it is expedient to you. It is to your advantage that I return to the Father. Jesus, right now, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for you, and he is praying for me. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us in accordance with the perfect will of God. Everything he does is for the kingdom of God's advantage and for your advantage, for my advantage. And so sometimes you're going to need to shut off the voices that complain and say, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray that God will get a hold of both of us. Okay. If you want to, don't point the finger of condemnation. Say, you know what, I'm going to need to spend some time with God here. There's some things in my life that God needs to put in the proper order. And so that way you're not speaking in a condemning manner. You're saying, I'm just going to allow God to put some things into my life. What's the other course of action? He says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. He said, while these other people do not have the Holy Spirit, you can pray in the Holy Spirit and build yourself up on your most holy faith. And he says, keep yourself in the love of God and look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So even here where there is this distinction between the godly and the ungodly, he says, make sure that you keep your faith, that you build up your faith, that you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You keep yourself in the love of God, and you continue to look for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I tell you what, I think that's a good plan. As we are in this Holy Week this week, I pray that you will be finding yourself, setting some time aside where you will build yourself up in your most holy faith, and you would know that the God who offered himself on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of our souls, that right now he is not passively observing you from heaven, but he is interceding. He is at work in your life and my life, because there is so much that he knows that he's going to do for you, in you, and through you. And so we want to thank you for tuning in today to the broadcast. Pray that you'll tune in again tomorrow. If you missed all of the broadcast, you can catch it at 10:30 or at 5 o'clock right here on WMI. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.